Life's Primary Purpose. It's not a big fancy title this morning or anything of the kind, but Life's Primary Purpose, that's our focus. And if I were to take a poll here this morning and ask you what you thought life's primary purpose was, I suspect that we would probably get a divergence of opinions, of good things perhaps. Certainly if you're a husband, one of the purposes in life is to follow the direction of the Lord and being the loving leader of your wife and your children. If you're a wife, it's to be obedient and helpmeet, trying to complete your husband. Another hat that a dad wears is to be the provider, the primary provider for his family. Still others would say, well, it's important that we win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't disagree with that at all. I don't disagree with any of the other things. And some people have the mistaken idea that the primary purpose in life is to be happy or to have pleasure. Well, those are mistaken purposes in life. You can have inner joy and peace. Those aren't primary purposes in life, to do what you want to do or to be a hedonist and try and fulfill pleasure as your highest goal. But truly, we see revealed in Isaiah chapter 43 in verse 6 and 7. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. And in verses 6 and 7, it kind of nails it down for us. It reveals the answer that is backed up in numerous places in the Scripture, and we'll be dealing with that this morning. But in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 6, it says this: I will say to the north, and this is the Lord speaking, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name. And then here is the purpose. For I have created him for my glory. I've created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. God clearly is the creator of all things. He's a creator of angelic beings. He's the creator of human beings. He's the creator of the stars, and he's the creator of the sea and all the animal life. He's the creator of everything. And as Pastor Longsign read to us, let's slip back to Psalm 148 for a moment. And look at Psalm 148. As we get to Psalm 148, we have clearly the injunction of the Lord Jesus Christ that all of his creation is to praise his name. Look at verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. You know, verse 8 is interesting. We see that the fire praises the Lord, the hail, the snow, the vapors, they praise the Lord. We see that the sun and the moon and the stars, they praise the Lord. There's no problem with those things. All of those seem to praise the Lord. It's only God's created beings that give them problems. A third of the angels decided not to glorify God, and a third of the angels, as we've been learning in the evening service, decided to follow Lucifer, who is the fallen angel from heaven, now called Satan and the devil. A third of them refused to glorify God, and they followed Lucifer. And then basically, it's you and me that kick up and give God the problems. It's you and me who don't adequately grasp the position that we hold. It's you and me that don't realize that there is, or sometimes don't realize, or at least some of us don't realize, that we are not the highest thing that there is. There's some people who are humanists, and more we see humanism dominating the culture in the United States of America, that man is the measure of all things, and it should be the goal for us to follow relativism and please ourselves. That's a great tragedy, because that is not at all what we were created for. I have created him for my glory. God created us to glorify him. You know it, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says this: whether therefore ye eat, I'm looking forward to eating today. One of my favorites is my wife's spaghetti. It really is. I like the other things, but we haven't had spaghetti in a while, so we're having spaghetti today. I can hardly wait. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, it says, do all to the glory of God. Now, what is the purpose of putting that in there? Well, simply, God created us, and even in the little things we do, even in the little choices we make, God calls us to glorify him. In what we eat and in what we drink, those are really tiny little things. You say, well, how can we glorify God in what we eat or drink? Well, number one, we can be thankful for it. Amen. And one of the reasons that we pray for our food is because it is God who gives us the power to get wealth, and it is God who causes the crops to grow. I mean, I got a bunch of spaghetti seeds, and I'm planning on planting them in my garden this year. Well, you know, it's made out of wheat and flour and so on. But are you thankful for what you have? In the little things of life, we're to glorify God. In the words that we say, we are to glorify God. And how we say the words that we say, we are to glorify God. Would you agree to that? Now, part of the problem is that sometimes we don't know exactly what to glorify God means. And we're going to look at that after we look at Psalm 86 in verse 12. Psalm 86 in verse 12. In Psalm 86, down in verse 12, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And you'll see that as you study the glory of God, that praise and glory of God is so often connected. It says, I will glorify thy name forevermore. I'm going to pause there just for a minute. I will glorify thy name forevermore. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing the boat, because those who have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be glorifying God forevermore in heaven, or wherever for 1,000 years we'll be with the Lord on earth, and then we'll be in the new heavens and the new earth. But we'll be with the Lord, and we can do that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Now, that means just not physical death. It's appointed unto men wants to die. Every single solitary one of us sitting here, barring the rapture, we're all going to die. When it says it's appointed unto men once to die, you're going to die twice. We've been studying the book of Revelation, and you've heard me say this many times before. If you've been born once, my physical birthday is on January 20th. That's the first time I was born physically. If you've been born once, you're going to die twice. There is going to be a physical death, and then there is going to be a spiritual death where your soul and your spirit goes to a Christless eternity in hell, which the book of Revelation calls the second death. You're saying, preacher, are you trying to scare me? Yeah. Anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior ought to be fearful, friends, because it's a fearful thing to face hell and then the lake of fire for all of eternity. So if you've been born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to have the physical death, and then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. And it didn't have to be that way. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I got my salvation nailed down. I may have been saved previously, but I got it nailed down on September 13th. That's my second birthday. Glory! Because it was on that birthday, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Things change for this guy because Jesus Christ took all of my sins and gave me all of his righteousness. And so now I am just going to die once. I'm happy about that. Once is enough. See, you can have the same thing. I just, if you doubt whether you're saved or not, and I think I was saved when I was 11 years old, up in my bedroom at 310 East Flint, after my Sunday school teacher had been going through the book of Romans. I think I was saved then, but I kept having the doubts about it, and I did not want to have that second death and end up in the lake of fire. So I got it nailed down. If you're not sure, don't do it for me. Do it for you. Because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus. That's all that I have. None of my own righteousness. It's not worth anything. But now that I'm saved, glory be to God. I know that I will glorify thy name forevermore. We sometimes sing that song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Now, till the end of the service, that's pretty much all I'm going to say. And I'm praying, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit is doing his work, and you'll decide to quit messing around and get right with God and get saved so that you are born twice. Because if you're born twice, you're going to die only once. What does glorify mean? Good question. The first definition didn't help me at all. It said to make glorious. I love the dictionary. What does glorify mean? Well, to make glorious. Okay. So I looked a little bit further. It means to exalt. It means to magnify. It means to honor and to worship. Or it means to praise extravagantly. Praise overwhelmingly. From the heart. My life's verses come from Psalm 34. In fact, one of my life's verses you had in the bulletin today. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That's been an encouragement to me. So is verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. Oh, glory. But look at Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. It's amazing that we're capable of glorifying God, but we are. God sets out the parameters and we can do it and we ought to be involved in it. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. What does bless the Lord mean? Tell about the good things that He has done. Tell about how He has come through for you. Tell how He has seen you through the difficult times. Tell how He has lifted your thoughts to heaven. Tell how He loves you. I can't help but, in that context, think of some of the little songs and choruses that really warm my heart and make me think about God when I sing, oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. God and our Lord Jesus Christ is the great lover of our souls. Why? I don't have a clue. But I'm so glad that He did, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Now that doesn't mean go around saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No. That isn't what it means. Genuine giving of praise for the Lord, who He is, how He has sustained you. It comes to be pretty mundane if you're just going, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rah, rah, rah. A parrot can say that. It needs to be deeper than that, is all I'm saying. It needs to be deeper than that. Hope you get it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The word boast means to make a show, to show worthy of praise, to comment on. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. One of our brothers was given a testimony of how the Lord brought somebody in his family to Christ. And you know what? Man, his boast in the Lord lifted me up, and I heard and was glad. Isn't it great that God is still working? I know some of you are going through it. I know some of you are having a difficult time. But don't count God short. He doesn't promise that He's always going to take us out of the situation, but He does promise to see us through the situation. Do you trust Him? What could you do without Him? My wife and I text back and forth often, because often I'm in the basement caring for my father and my wife's upstairs. And she just texted me recently this week and said, oh, praise God that He, and I don't remember the exact text, and I'm not going to look it up and read it to you, but, you know, praise God for His strength to help us through. So many times. And I don't think you're any different than me. So many times I'm at about my wit's end. I'm at about my strength's end. And the old 8-cylinder engine that used to run so smoothly up there is backfiring on me sometimes these days. There's so much washing around up there. But you know what? God has and continues to see me through. And He'll do the same for you. And we ought to let people know, and we ought to magnify His name together so that others can hear thereof and be glad and say, don't we have a God who is our helper? Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Man, you can't knock that. Oh, magnify the Lord, and that means to make great, to show powerful. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt, that means to lift up, to raise high. Who are we supposed to raise high? Ourselves. Hey, look at me, aren't I so great? Didn't I do so good? That's P-U. Raise high the one who sees you through. Well, glorifying God consists in at least, I don't believe this list is inclusive, but as I've gone through it, it consists at least in four things. There's four things. I'll give you quickly because I'm not sure I'm going to get through them all. Number one is appreciation. Number two is adoration. Number three is affection. So you got three A's and an S. Number four is subjection. Those are the ways that you can glorify God. Appreciation, adoration, affection, and subjection. Let's go to appreciation first. And I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 18. The little book of Colossians, chapter 1, and in verse 18. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body. If you look in your bulletins, don't need to turn there, but it says, this week, Chief Shepherd, Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the head of the body, the local body here. Under Shepherd says David L. Brown. Next week it'll say Under Shepherd, David L. Brown, Jared Longsign, pastors. He is the head of the body, Jesus. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And here's what it says. That in all things, he might have preeminence. To glorify God by appreciation is to have God highest in our thoughts. I got some work to do in that. I'm just being honest with you. He's highest in my thoughts a lot of the times. But then there's many times where he's not. How about you? In all things, he has to have the preeminence. It is to admire him for who he is and for what he has done. And to esteem him. The word esteem means to value highly. Do you value highly your relationship with God and God himself? Now, it's interesting, but let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15. We're going to look at Jeshurun in Deuteronomy 32, 15. But it says, but Jeshurun waxed fat. He got lazy. He forgot who is the cause of his blessing. He forgot who, and you know, this is America. We've forgotten who is, as a nation, the reason that we're blessed. And Jeshurun, he waxed fat and he kicked. I don't like
like the constraints that God has put on me.
Boy, is that, we're seeing that in Christian church. They don't like Christian morals. They don't like Christian responsibilities. They don't like Christian, you know, it says, thou art wax fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. See, he got all wrapped up in his blessing and he forgot why he was blessed. Now look at what happened. Then he forsook God, which made him. And look at this. And here's where we need to be careful. And lightly esteem the rock of his salvation. Some Christians getting a place and getting a rut and they lightly esteem the rock of their salvation. They forgot how that they got saved. They forgot how that they spiritually grew by being in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. They forgot the importance of prayer in their life. They forgot the importance of God's blessing in their life. They forgot the importance of rearing their children according to biblical values. The husbands have forgotten the importance of loving their wives as they ought to. The wives have forgotten the importance of being obedient to their husbands like they should. And they're out so focused on other things that they have lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. And then there's problems. We need to appreciate the one who created us, the one who sustains us. We glorify God when we are God admirers. We admire His attributes. I'm so glad that I have a God that does not change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. I'm so thankful that I serve a God who is a loving God, who is a merciful God, who is a just God, who is a God of provision, who is a God of blessing. Psalm 92, verse 8 says, Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Psalm 97, 9 says, Thou art exalted above all the gods. What does that mean, Thou art exalted above all the gods? Does that mean there's other gods? You bet. Idols that people lift up in their lives and they pay more attention to those idols in their lives than they do to God. Can be money. Can be possessions. Can be sports. Can be hobbies. Anything. You know, there is in God all that may arouse in us both wonder and delight. Studying the Word of God, seeing who He is, seeing what He does. He is the prima causa, as the Latin says. He is the first cause. He is the fountainhead of all being. Do you realize you would not be here if it were not for God? So I ask you, despite what you've gone through, do you appreciate God? And if you do, how are you showing it? The fact of the matter is I need to do some work in that area. Appreciation of God. Adoration of God. Adoration is the act of paying honors or homage to God or worshiping God. Glorifying God consists in adoration or worship. Psalm 29:2 says this, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Now, I'm going to tell you three things about worshiping God. A worshiper must be a humble person who is willing to do these three things. Must be a humble person who's willing to do these three things. Number one, subordinate his or her goals to God's goals in living and serving God. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye third the kingdom of God. Oh, you're shaking your head. Seek ye first. I've said this to you before, but the pattern prayer that was given doesn't mean that we have to recite it all the time, but it should show us a pattern of what should be included in our prayer. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So many people say, my kingdom come, my will be done. God bless it if you can. If we're talking very clearly about subordination, that means that we are to make his goals our goals. And the second thing is to express gratitude and praise towards God. God loves gratefulness. Turn with me to Psalm 136, verse 1. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercies endureth forever. One of the things that I really appreciate about my wife, after being married all these years, is she's regularly grateful for the things that I provide for her and do for her. After all these years. You know, even more so, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. God likes to hear thank you. Don't you like it when your kids say thank you? God likes it when his kids say thank you too. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. And you know this very clearly, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God likes us to say thank you. God likes our expressions of gratitude. Do you appreciate God? Do you adore God and worship him? How do you worship him? You subordinate your goals and make his goals first. You express gratitude and praise towards God. And finally, you tell others about God, his truths, and the love that you've enjoyed as God's child. So you subordinate your will and your goals. You express gratitude and you tell others. Tell others about God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Nobody else is going to tell them. God hasn't ordained that the angels tell them. So many Christians say, well, you know, as long as I live a good example before them. And you know what? When they get in a tough time, they're going to come and ask you, and then you'll have an opportunity to tell. But tell. Be an ambassador. Tell others about God. What he's done for you. That's a testimony. Now, the last two, I'm just going to be able to give you some scriptures on it and have to let it be unfinished. at least for this message, as we look at the third way that we can glorify God is affection. We glorify God when we love Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." What does that mean? Love delights in God. It takes pleasure in God. Delight is more a permanent pleasure in, as opposed to a sudden excitement. Psalms 1, 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Do you delight in God and His Word? I don't know about you, but delighting means to have a fervent love for God. That means to be hot and to be excited. I have a fervent love for my wife. I've got some ways to go to have a genuine, fervent love for God. To really delight, to have a permanent pleasure in God. Oh yes, there are some there, but Romans 12:11 says, "Be fervent in spirit." Be hot in your spirit serving the Lord. Number 4, subjection. We glorify God when we are committed above all to doing His will. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Turn with me to Psalm 40 and verse 8, and then I'm going to wrap things up. You know, I wish I could always say this. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, "I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." Most of the time I delight to do His will. We glorify God when we are committed to doing His will. We glorify God when we are dedicated to His service. Our head studies for Him. Now just think about this. Our head studies for Him, and we should study to show ourselves what? Approved. Our tongue pleads for Him. We are to share the gospel, are we not? Our hands are busy for Him, and our feet will go for Him. That's subjection. God's glory, or we glorify God when we appreciate God, when we adore God, when we have affection for God, and when we are in subjection to God. How are you doing in glorifying God? I have some work to do. Do you? That's up to you. As I was preparing this message, I looking at this and saying, "Oh boy, you're preaching this one to yourself, brother." But you know what? It should be that way. If you can't learn from what you're going to share with the people, how are you going to share anything with the people? Let's have our heads bowed.